And we're looking at the book of James. It's wise and I believe necessary to look at the first verse in the book of James. Matter of fact, the first few verses in the book of James, in chapter 1, James, a servant of God, and of the 12 tribes which are scattered, or to the 12 tribes, James, a servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. That is a Jewish book written to a Jewish audience, and those brethren he's talking to are Jews, and I believe wholeheartedly when he's talking about diverse temptations, he's talking about the tribulation time. However, practically and spiritually, we can apply these things to us today. So I'm not changing my theology, but we preach out of Hebrews, we preach out of James, we preach out of Matthew, knowing that all Scripture is given for our learning and admonition. So the spiritual and practical application we'll get out of this, realize that he's writing this to the 12 tribes of Israel, the tribulation time, and I don't even believe he necessarily knew when he was writing it to when he wrote it, but God did. James chapter number 5 is where we'll begin in verse number 1. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last day. Behold, the hire of the laborers whom have reaped down your field, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. See the Jewish flavor there? Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and latter rain. See the Jewish tribulation content. Be ye also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The first thing I'm going to look at here in verse number 1, he says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. The cautioning of the rich. And again, we practically are going to apply this. Doctrinally, he's talking to Israel, and he's talking about the Jews, talking to the Jews, his brethren. But as born-again believers, children of God, we can glean some things from this and from him in the words of James. And he's cautioning the rich. He's cautioning the rich to look ahead. To look ahead. Could you imagine you get in your car, it's pitch black at 6:15 now, right? So you get in your car, and you drive down the road, you don't have your headlights on automatic. Some of y'all probably got cars that got permanent automatic or something. I don't know, but ours has you can flip it on and off. You don't have headlights that are automatic, and you're driving down the road, and you're going along pretty good, and all of a sudden you think, well, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, it's cloudy, there's no stars, no sun, no moon, no nothing, it's just dark. I think I'll just turn my lights off and drive. And that's basically what the rich are doing there. You can see what's going on right here, right now, inside the car, but you can't see what's ahead of you. And he's giving them a caution. He's saying, hey, there's coming a cliff ahead of you. You might focus on now. You might focus on your money and your power and your flesh. But down the road where you cannot see yet physically, there's coming a time of reckoning. And he's cautioning the rich, and he's saying, look ahead. Judgment is coming. And I think what the devil does and what he's really subtle about and masterful at, if you would, I hate the word, using the word master. I want the Lord to be my master, but he's has a certain ability to get people caught up in the here and now and not think about the thereafter. And you know, that's why the Lord talks so much about the rich in his ministry. He talks about the fact that they are so caught up in their worldly things that it's easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle than the rich man to enter into heaven. Because the rich man's not looking out into the future and thinking, hey, my life's going to end, I'm going to go to heaven or hell, and it's going to be dependent on what I do with Jesus Christ. They keep thinking if they're worshiping themselves, their money, their flesh. And the Christ many times warns against this, and here James is warning against it, and he's talking to his brethren, the Jews. Some of the richest people in the world are the Jews. God's blessed them. George Soros, 2/3 of the Hollywood, a lot of the Hollywood, I'm not sure 2/3, but a lot of the Hollywood crowd, rich Jews. And, you know, God's saying, don't put your faith in riches, put your faith in Jesus Christ, put your faith in the Word of God. And that's what he gave the Jews in the Old Testament. He gave them his Word. The law, the prophets, the Scripture, right? And then his Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and they rejected that. Why? Because they were so caught up in themselves and the here and now. So the cautioning of the rich to look ahead because judgment is coming. Here we are again. Paul said we must all appear judgment seat of Christ. Judgment's coming. Don't get so caught up in the world and caught up in the things of the world. Say, well, I don't have a lot of money. I'm not going to get caught up in that. Well, you got enough money to get a stupid phone. You can get caught up in all kinds of other stuff, right? You can get caught up in what Trump's doing, what Biden's doing, what Harris isn't doing, what the politicians are doing, what they're, you know, they're stealing, but they're sending $15 billion to Ukraine. I mean, Joe can't spend it all on himself. He's got to give some of it out there. Amen? You know, we've got people in this country that are in need. We always will have. We always will have because people are corrupt. They're in need. What they're in need of is not a check from Joe Biden. They need Jesus Christ. They need to wake up. They need to heed the warning of Jesus Christ. Heed the warning not just for the rich in finances, but those that have so much going on that they're not paying attention to the future. So he's cautioning the rich. In verse number 2, it says, your riches are corrupted. And your garments are moth-eaten. They're corrupted riches. They're corrupted riches. And that's what we think, we talk about people like Kenneth Copeland and Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer, all those people out there that have these multi-million-dollar mansions and jets and Jet A and Jet B and Jet C and all this stuff. They have all this stuff and they have all these riches and they are potentiating this. They are spreading this thought process that's not of God, that people need to seek worldly riches. And when they get these riches and they give a little bit of it to the causes of man. They give a little bit to the causes of man and they think, well, God's going to enjoy that. God's going to like that. God's going to be happy with me because I took part of my riches that I've earned because God's right with me. I mean, where I'm right with Him and He's proud of me and He's happy with me and He's blessing me and He's giving me all this money and I'm giving a little bit out here and God's just going to be happy. Those riches are corrupted. Those riches are corrupted. You know, Jesus Christ warns against putting up wealth in this world instead of putting up riches in heaven. And the things in this world where moth and rust can corrupt and people can steal. You know people can't steal the riches you put up in heaven? I mean, you could lose rewards and stuff like that, but you put things up in heaven, there's no IRS agent going to take that away from you. There's not. There's no bank phone call you're going to get. Guess what? We went belly up. We can't give you your money. There's not going to be a time where they say, well, your taxes have increased to the point where you have to give us the rest of what you've got. That's not the way it works with heavenly riches. But the corrupt riches are the things of this world. And a lot of the riches of this world is nothing but corruption. But you can lay up things in heaven that Christ will be pleased with, that the Father will be happy about. Look at verse number 3. Your gold and silver is cankered. And the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Boy, there's a coming judgment of fire too, isn't there? For the folks that are counting on their riches. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. How about that? We got people doing that right now. We got people who don't understand how to rightly divide. They think this world's going to end, and they think maybe they're going to get away with it. Everybody else is going to end, but they're not going to end for them because they've got a year's supply of Band-Aids. They've got some alcohol. They've got some peroxide. They've got some toothpaste. They've got some powdered milk, and they've got 25 years worth of water and plastic jugs. That's going to go real well for them about 5 years, amen, that plastic. And talking about having five fingers and five toes, that may not be the case with it. But, they've got all this stuff built up, and I got ammo, got guns, got ammo, got all this stuff, and when Armageddon comes, the end of this thing, I'm going to be the last one out. I'm going to be the last one standing. That's not the way it's going to work. See, that's not going to work that way. It's corrupted riches, and it's a goofy idea. The gold and silver is cankered. And you probably got some gold on you right now. Probably look at that gold and think, man, that is something. That's gold. This world thinks that this is filth compared to what heaven has. I mean, this is so impure. The gold and the silver that we have, you can't drag enough dross off of it to make it the gold and, comparable to gold and silver in heaven. But he talks about it being cankered and talk about it, the rust of them shall be a witness against you. The contaminated treasure. We got to be careful not to contaminate our treasures. We lay up things in heaven and want rewards so we can lay them back at Jesus Christ's feet. And I'm telling you today, if I could encourage you to do one thing, is do something for the Lord Jesus Christ and keep on keeping on until He calls us out of this place, which could be any minute. It might be next spring, might be next fall. It could be today. Amen. You might be driving in the nursing home. The next thing you know, you're out of here and your car's still going. Amen. But the contaminated treasure. Look at verse 4. Here he is warning people again, warning the rich. But behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back from them, or kept back by fraud, crieth. Now he's talking about their contempt for servants. Their contempt for servants. Anybody feel like that you earn money, you pay taxes, and the people that are in control of what they do with your taxes have contempt for you? They don't care what you think. They don't care what you say. They don't care if you make it or not. You're just another servant, and you're replaceable. In their mind, they're irreplaceable. That's why some of them have been allegedly been up there for 50 years. I'm not sure some of them are even real anymore. Good night. Nancy Pelosi smiles. Her face is busting half. That woman, she's something else. Do you ever feel like they're contempt? They have a contempt. But you know, that's the way the world is. The world is about getting what they can for themselves, no matter who they walk on, how they use them, or how they abuse them. And, family businesses are a little different, but most businesses are set up to make profit. And they really don't care about their employees unless they're making profit. They really don't. That's what they're there for, and you're a number. It's not just the government, it's the way mankind has become. It's so impersonal, it's so self-centered and self-righteous and self-serving. It's just the way mankind is. Without Christ, that's the way the world is. The only way you could be able to actually care about somebody and be able to care about people and understand that people have a limited amount of time on this earth and you're buying their time from them is if you trust Jesus Christ and you read the Bible and realize there's a beginning, middle, and end to this thing. I remember one of the chiropractic offices I had, the lady worked for me. She was a really nice lady. And her birthday, when her birthday came up, I said, take your birthday off, Paige. Just take your birthday off. I said, look, I'm not a slave driver in here. If you need time off, I wasn't a big business. Didn't make a lot of money, but this particular office especially. But I realized that she was giving me part of her life. She wasn't just showing up to make me money. She was trading part of her life right? Need a half day off? You got. I can't afford to have somebody not in here all the time, but we'll work it out where you get a half day off paid, once a month or something like that, plus birthday off, and half day pay on holidays. Just something. Because people are trading their lives, they're trading their time, and they could be trading it somewhere else for more a lot of times. And I'm not saying that any of us would be perfect employers or anything like that, but we have to realize that this is much more than just money. It's much more than just gaining worldly things. It's about how we interact with other people and what Christ did for us. But the contempt for the servants, look at verse 5. As a matter of fact, let's jump back to verse 4 and read it again. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. We see the cries of the laborers. Isn't that scary? No matter what people think, what they do, or how they run over people, or how self-righteous or self-absorbed they are, God sees what's going on. You know, the cries of those laborers are coming up to the Lord. You want the Lord to fix this mess? Cry out to Him instead of crying out about the government. Instead of it, we'll get our own tank, we'll get some missile launchers, we'll get some AK-47s, we'll get some AR-15s, and we're going to overthrow. That's baloney. How about Lord take care of it? We can't do it right anyway. We couldn't do it. I don't know about you, but the last time I thought about buying an Apache helicopter, it was a little out of my price range. Amen? I wouldn't want one to fight the government. I think it'd be neat to have one to fly around. Amen? But that kind of stuff there, I mean, God's hearing the cry of the laborers. He hears the cry of His people. You know why He dealt with Israel the way He dealt with Israel? He would put them in a situation when they weren't looking to Him. They would cry out to Him, and He would deliver them. You know why the United States government's not, the United States people are not being delivered from a primarily tyrant government, tyrannical government? It's because they're not crying out to God. You know, God's going to sift through this, and God's going to judge righteous judgment anyway, and vengeance is His. And the only way people are going to get away from eternal damnation is by trusting Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. But I think if this country, if the born-again believers would cry out to the Father and say, Lord, help us, maybe God would say, you know what? I'm not just going to allow somebody in here that's lesser of the two evils. I'm going to put somebody in here that's going to glorify Me and help you glorify Me. Amen. But instead, we're going to do it on our own. We're going to do it at the ballot box. We're going to do it by prepping for the last days. We're going to do it by, I'm not saying you shouldn't be wise and, you know, look, something could come up January 20th. All this stuff going on with all these drones, something's happening. They couldn't do the China virus again, so something's up. I'm not saying I know who's doing this. I'm just saying it's not wrong to be prepared to a certain degree. And I think it's wise to be prepared to a certain degree. Amen? I'm not going to sell you food buckets. Amen? I'm not going online to sell food buckets. Might get you a bucket of food. Not from Jim Becker. But just be prepared. Be wise. But don't put your old eggs in, I'm going to save myself. You cry out to the Lord. The cries of the laborers. God's hearing those cries. You know, the Bible talks about tears in bottles in heaven. They've been bottled up in heaven. God does not see one teardrop from His children that He doesn't recognize and honor and understand. I just don't think He gets that many of them anymore. Amen. The cries of the laborers, they cried out to the Lord. You know, Israel, if there are folks in Israel crying out to the Lord right now, they're going to go through this time, and God's going to hear their cries then, and they're really going to turn to the Lord. They're going to say, Lord, I believe You. I know who You are. I'm trusting Christ. Come get us out of here. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm not going to give in to temptation. I'm going to trust You. I'm not taking the mark. I'm not worshiping the beast. And He's going to hear those cries, and He's going to deliver those people. I think we need more people crying out for the rapture, man. Too many born-again believers are caught up in the checkbook instead of looking for the Lord. Worried about worldly, carnal things and focused on things of this world instead of things of the Lord. Verse 6. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. How about that? Who'd they condemn and kill? This is to the Jews in the tribulation, right? Now I know they have a pattern of doing that, but they condemned and killed the just on Calvary. Our sins did. And guess what? He didn't resist. He came for that purpose. The condemning of the just, we see Christ crucified. They're going to see Christ crucified. They're going to see Christ crucified, buried, and risen in the tribulation time. Now, a lot of these Jews are. They're going to hear from the law, hear from the prophets, the witnesses of God, and they're going to see Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. They're going to trust Christ. They're going to keep the commandments. They're going to do what they're supposed to do and just put their faith in God and work that faith out, live that faith, and he's going to save them out of that. The condemning of the just. So, well, that's a strange thing to condemn the just. What did we just see? What was that kid's name? Daniel Penny? He's a white guy that saved and tried to save and protect a bunch of white and black people on the subway. And they happened to be a black guy that he was dealing with that didn't make it through the situation, and they blamed him for being a racist. And just about took his entire life from him, physically. His physical freedom. Condemning of the just. I'm not saying any of us are really just. But in that circumstance, he did right. Where most people wouldn't anymore. And a lot of people won't, and I'm not sure he would try it again. He said he would, but he's not there. Saying it's one thing. He might do that for 4 years. But depending on who's in there next. Saying it's one thing, but now he has that in his mind. Is this worth it? Is this worth it? Could I get the wrong jury next time? Could this happen again? Could this go even worse? The condemning of the just. Christ crucified. He became sin for us that knew no sin. He knew not sin at all in his flesh. He was perfectly sinless and took the sin debt of the world on him. Verse 7 and 8. Be patient therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. That's talking about Jesus Christ coming to collect. And hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Now we're looking at early and latter rain. We're getting into some theology there where you're looking at Elijah, you're looking at the tribulation, you're looking at the coming of the latter rain, different things like that, getting into a bunch of Jewish stuff there. Be ye also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now I know we're looking at two comings of the Lord, practically speaking, we'll call it two, because we're looking to meet him in the clouds, meet him in the air. They're looking for him to come back on a white horse and deliver them from their enemy and destroy their enemy. But everything that's going on in the world, all the rich and all the corruption and all the contaminated treasures and all the contempt for the servants and all the cries of the laborers and condemning of the just and everything that's going on in this crooked world, he's saying, look, the Lord is coming back. Now look at this again. In verse number 7, he says, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it. Now, I don't know about you, but when I grow something, like tomatoes especially, if I ever grew tomatoes, those things seem like they are green forever. And then they turn so fast you can't eat them all. But you're waiting for that harvest so you can partake of that fruit. You know what Jesus Christ is waiting? He's waiting to collect the fruit. But he's doing it patiently. I know some folks, they get to like October or November, they jerk the plants out of the ground and call it good. You know what the Lord's waiting for? The last red tomato. Amen. Guess what happens after that? The wheat and the tares are going to be plucked up and separated. But he's waiting for the last. He's waiting patiently to collect all the fruit. You know what he's telling us? Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Patience, waiting for the Lord. Basically, to boil it all down to this, this is what it all boils down to. Everything that's going on, all the craziness, all the perversion, all the filth, wickedness, unrighteousness, self-centeredness, narcissistic behavior, and all the garbage that's going on, worldliness, carnality in the churches, and lack of Christ, and locking him out of the churches, and everything that's going on. And you know what the Lord says? Be patient. I'm coming back. Be patient. I mean, if the Lord, a perfect and righteous and holy God, can be patient and put up with this, he's telling us we can too. I don't see it. I don't see I can get much worse than we can put up with it. Only by the grace of God. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take back, getting back to number five, the cries of the laborer. The cries of the laborer. And people get out on the street, and they'll put up a sign, they'll hold up a sign and chant, Trump, 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 Trump. Or maybe four or five of them will get out there and say, Kamala or Biden or something like that. But thousands and thousands of people will hold up signs and put up signs and, you know, Trump this and the Trumpinator and, you know, this, that, and the other, and reelect Trump, and Trump, 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 and Trump, he's this, and Trump, he's that, and you put a bumper sticker on your car that says Jesus saves, and you're a weirdo. You know what they want you to do? They want you to feel guilty about doing right. They want you to feel browbeat into not giving the honor and glory to who it's due. So, no, you say, people, you can put Trump signs up in your yard and we don't think anything of it. But you put Jesus saves, or for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and half the people in this world will say you're nuts, or a bigot, or a heretic, or what have you. But you know what he says? He says, keep on keeping on and do what glorifies me, because I'm coming back. First of all, we don't have to look forward to spending an eternity here. Praise the Lord. And second of all, he is coming back. And we talk a lot about that. You know why? Because he's coming back. So we just heard a message about him coming back a couple weeks ago. Well, he's still coming back. Hang on. Hang on. He's coming back. He's coming back. Father, we love you, and we look for your glorious appearing as Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, or comes back and meets him in the clouds, and then he comes back later to this earth. But Lord, we're looking for that glorious appearing. We're looking for that rapture. We're looking for that catching away. And Lord, this world is a mess, and I know that you can look down on all of us and say we're part of the problem. And it's easy for us to go, we're just victims, and we are part of the problem. Our sin is part of the problem. It was, it is, until you call us out of here, convert us, and transform us into, translate us into a new body, and put us into a new body, and put this mortal put on immortality. We're still going to be part of the problem. But Lord, help us in this weak and wicked flesh to submit to you instead of the wills and whims of the carnality of the flesh. And Lord, to glorify you till you call us home. Help us to have some patience, but Lord, come get us soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. John saw and said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Paul, the pattern for Christianity, was looking, hoping for your glorious appearing. And we are looking for your glorious appearing. We're looking to leave this place, Lord. Come get us soon. Bless us through the day, Lord. I ask your blessing on the nursing home service coming up. Do you bless the workers and the residents and their family? And bless the folks here today. Help them. Give them strength to keep on keeping on. Give them protection. Give us direction. And Lord, help us to glorify you with what we have left. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, Lord willing, we'll see you at the nursing home or see you Wednesday night.